Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alex Cooper. We're back with Walter Sullivan on our special feature show on cannabis today. And our next guest is Daniel Yee of MedMen. He's the Director of Communications of MedMen. And tell us about MedMen, Daniel.
Sure. It's very exciting to be MedMen today. We are a national cannabis company, and I guess the simplest way to explain this is, you know, there are two components to MedMen, right? It's a cannabis enterprise. On the one hand, we're a management company. We operate licensed cannabis facilities on behalf of the actual owners. It's very akin to how the hotel and the casino industry works. So, you know, Harrah's Casino, for example, there's an entity that owns the building, owns the actual assets. And then they hire Harrah's to come and actually run the operations. And that's how MedMen works very, very similarly too. And then on the other hand, the other component of this is money. As you can imagine, any business, any enterprise needs knowledge, expertise, and money. And the money comes in the form of private equity funds. We launched the first one last year in MedMen Opportunity Fund, raised $60 million. In 9 months, we closed early because we made a very smart investment in a Canadian company that went IPO. And we launched a second fund right after. And that fund has a target of $250 million. On and all, MedMen has raised on the capital side a little over $100 million. I know that sounds like chump change to people who work in Wall Street, but for the cannabis industry, you know, it's a big deal. And all of it has been deployed on assets in the cannabis space in three states, New York, Nevada, and California. We're California-based, and you know, California is about to have commercially available adult-use marijuana come January 1st. So we're growing by leaps and bounds.
Now, in your look, I mean, right now you're in Canada, California, Nevada, and New York, but you're really
Correct.
Looking to grow MedMen. Where do you see MedMen being in the future?
So MedMen, I'm a little biased here, but I'll say MedMen is the future of cannabis, the legal cannabis industry. The way we will be in all the markets that are viable in the what we believe will be the future of the cannabis industry. We believe that the federal prohibition will end at some point, right? You have 29 states that have legalized medical marijuana. You have 8 states that have adult use, including your state, Massachusetts. Nevada and California, I think the critical mass is growing, and it's already sort of past the point of no return. So we believe that at the federal level, the prohibition will end, you know, depending on who you talk to, let's say in the next 5 to 7 years, which means at some point you will have a national cannabis market, but it will be highly regulated because at the end of the day, we're not selling coffee, we're selling a controlled substance. Has all sorts of use. Responsible adults should be able to have, you know, ready access to cannabis. It's not just about, you know, recreational use. It's also for wellness. There's a lot of CBD products out there that help with all sorts of conditions. So we believe that it will be a highly regulated industry. And in that sense, what MedMen brings, you guys are an entrepreneurial show. So cannabis, MedMen does not come from a cannabis background. Our two founders, you know, do not have a background in cannabis. They're actually entrepreneurs who happen to, you know, find a huge opportunity in the cannabis space. So we look at everything from a very institutional perspective. We want to make cannabis a highly institutionalized, well-regulated industry. And that's, wherever that is possible. In the beginning, you have those conditions in California, Nevada, New York. New York obviously is an evolving market. We believe Massachusetts has a lot of potential. The emerging Florida medical marijuana market is very promising. Ohio, Michigan, from coast to coast.
MedMen's been looking in a whole bunch of other states, including Massachusetts, to invest in. What would you say to an applicant or someone who's already in the business in seeking more investment funds? What would you say to them on how to accomplish that?
I think you have to have a plan. It's we participated in the MJ Business Conference a few weeks ago in November. I don't know if you guys know, but the MJ Business Conference. There are so many cannabis conferences now, right? It's a very noisy space, but MJ Business Conference has been around for a few years. This was the first year that they went from a hotel to the actual Las Vegas Convention Center. It was based from last year, there was almost double the number of attendees and exhibitors. And one of the things that struck me as I was there, as there were 600 some exhibitors, is that, in a few years, a lot of those businesses are not going to be around, because I think there are people who are jumping to this space because of the growth numbers and they think there's money to be made. But, you still have to approach it from with a smart business plan, right? What are the conditions? What are the circumstances? And sort of, plan 5-10 years around. You have to have the long game in mind. I think a lot of people are jumping into this space hoping to make a quick buck. So what I'll say to anybody,
Go ahead.
So I was going to say, to anybody who's getting in some ways, if you're not already in the industry, it's very hard, just because the entry, the initial capital and the regulations is going to get a lot tougher, especially in California, it's already tough with all the regulatory complexities and the things that you have to deal with, and you have to be well capitalized, right? But let's say you're already in the space, you happen to own some licenses in an emerging state, you still have to have a good business plan. You still have to be well capitalized. I think this is not about being an expert in pot. It's about being an expert in business, right? Business operations. And that's one of the things that we do as a company on the operational side. We spend a lot of time and resources hiring talent, not necessarily, from the cannabis space, but, we want the best marketing, executives. We want the best, financial experts. We want the best, that's why Chris Levy, our co-chairman on the investment side is, he used to be the chief investment officer for BlackRock, Oppenheimer Fund, Morgan Stanley. I mean, some of the biggest names on Wall Street. So I think that's where the future is in this industry. If you are in it and you want to be in it for the long term, you need to get very business savvy.
So for the Massachusetts Cannabis Commission is looking at not only, as you may or may not know, we, under the law, we have four types of licenses that, under our new law, which would be cultivation license, a manufacturing license, a recreational license, and a medical marijuana license. The commission mm-hmm. just grew that even further yesterday, creating a primary use on-premise consumption license and a mixed-use consumption license if you were a yoga studio and you wanted to use cannabis as part of your yoga program.
Sure.
Looking at all those different industries, where do you see the best idea for a small businessman to invest in or to get involved in, I should say?
That's a tough question. If you're a small business and if you're a small business owner and you're not in the cannabis space already, at the end of the day, those licenses are going to be key because this is a controlled substance. So if you don't have a license, it's going to be very tough. It's going to be actually impossible for you to participate where it's a plant touching enterprise, right? So there are a lot of ancillary businesses that you can participate in where you don't need a license. I mean, the marijuana industry is like any other industry. We have a need for for office supply. It's expected that this industry is going to employ 250,000 people, before the end of the decade. So there will be a lot of economic activity. So you can do support services, but if you're going to be a plant touching, as we call in the industry, you are actually working with the plant and the products and the retail and the whole supply chain, it's without a license, a non-starter. And I think, it's already getting to the point where getting those licenses requires a lot of, huge upfront capital. And I think for smaller businesses, it's tough to enter the space, through that angle. But there are a lot of, support services that the industry is going to need going forward.
So what type of companies does MedMen look to invest in? What are some of the requirements and what do you look for?
So we are a little unique in the private equity space. To draw an example, let's go outside of cannabis, right? So the question that you asked applies very much to traditional private equity because, there are established businesses, there are established industries, and you raise funds and you go and you find that undervalued asset. Just as an example, let's say you find a restaurant chain, a small restaurant chain that that you find good value in, and you look at the numbers, you look at the projections, you think you can do some improved marketing, and the numbers work out, and you make an investment. In the cannabis space, because it's still a nascent industry, what we end up doing a lot is, like, we don't necessarily invest in existing companies. We invest in opportunities. So, and because we have the operational side, build from the ground up. I'll give you an example. Our Mustang facility up in just outside Reno, Nevada. There was a license already attached to this project, so we knew where the license was. So the capital side, our fund, is the development company, right? Owns the development rights to the real estate. So we had to actually literally, it was a piece of dirt of, I believe, 4 acres of land. Don't quote me on the numbers. I may be not exact on the numbers, but it's a 45,000 square foot cultivation, high-tech greenhouse and manufacturing facility. We bought the real estate. We attached a license to it. And then our operations side came and designed the facility, and it's going to open. We're expecting sometime in January to supply the Nevada market. And, we're hoping the ribbon cutting will be sometime, in the next few weeks. So that's how our investment works on our capital side. We're not necessarily buying existing companies, but we're looking for opportunities. In New York, it was a little different because I was telling you earlier, a lot of this is tied to licenses. So in New York, there was a company that was one of the original five license holders in the state of New York. New York, the medical marijuana program there is a little different. It's a full vertical. So one license, one of each of the five licenses gave you the right to cultivate and manufacture cannabis products, but then you have to distribute through your own supply chain, right? So each one of those licenses give you the right to 4 dispensaries in New York in the state. Since then, the state has actually increased the number of licenses from 5 to 10. The other 5 are just starting. But we bought one of those companies, Bloomfield Industries at the time. This was last year, about a little over a year ago. That was an existing operation, but it was the value in it was the license, right? You have an opportunity to be 1 of 5, now 1 of 10 licenses that is going to supply the entire state of New York. We thought that would be a good investment.
In Nevada, it's not vertically integrated. You're in the cultivation business and manufacturing business?
Correct. So in Nevada is more similar to New York. So all of the states that have marijuana programs are in different stages and like slightly different, frameworks, right? So New York is a highly restricted, vertically integrated, licensing structure, which might change. This is an evolving process. California and Nevada, like you were mentioning, how many licenses there are in Massachusetts, California, there are more than a dozen types of licenses, from different sizes of cultivation to distribution, delivery licenses, mixed use. So over a dozen, and it's not vertically integrated. So each stage of the supply chain, each stage of the vertical is a separate license.
So in Massachusetts, for example, that medical marijuana can be vertically integrated if you choose. You can have a registration to grow and to manufacture and sell. You also can just get a dispensary license. On the recreational side, you can get a license to grow, you can get a license to manufacture, and you can get a license to dispense.
Mm-hmm.
What license would you look at someone looking to get in this business for 10 years and more? Would it be a cultivation license? Would it be a retail license? I mean, it's still location, location, location for the retail license. But where do you think people should be looking at growing their business if they don't have the type of money MedMen has?
Well, that's a complex question, right? I think it depends on, right? Yeah. You need to have some context of what it depends on the person who is looking to get into the space and looking into, what are your resources, like short of capital, right? So there are opportunities up and down the chain. That's why we don't look necessarily just at retail as a great opportunity, or just as cultivation as an opportunity. I think if you have the right circumstances and look at the right opportunity costs, there are opportunities everywhere. For myself, You know, I think often when you talk about a growing industry, people look often at just like, how can I get in on the game? How can I, you know, invest and own a piece of it? Well, working in it, being a professional, somebody who has a skill set that the industry needs, and the industry needs all sorts of skill sets. This is no different than the Silicon Valley, you know, in the early 90s. We need people, all kinds of talent. So I wouldn't necessarily look just at how can I invest in a business? But even if you're an entrepreneur, there are opportunities to participate in the industry as a professional, right? I mean, it needs, you know, like I said, we need a full skill set. But if you are a business person, you're looking to invest into this space, I don't think there's, I can't say retail is where it's at or distribution is where it's at. It all depends on the circumstances, all depends on the market you're in. It also depends on what you bring to the table, right? If you're an entrepreneur who worked in logistics all your life, then maybe a distribution license is what you should be going after. It all depends. Yeah, go ahead.
That's a good idea. I think, you know, what do you bring to the table?
Correct. So I'll give you an idea. So Mad Men is a perfect example. You guys are an entrepreneurial show. Adam Bierman, our CEO, and Andrew Modlin, our president, founded the company. They co-founded the company. Before 2010, Andrew and Adam were running a boutique marketing firm here in LA. So they were doing, you know, websites, they were doing, you know, facilities design. They worked for some Greek yogurt chain here local that is actually pretty popular. So they were doing marketing services. Adam got a call one day from a medical marijuana dispensary here on Sunset Boulevard. You know, they needed some marketing service. So he goes there in a business suit with his, like, you know, suit, you know, business case. And he goes, and it's this dark, you know, not very well-run place. And he says the lady had blue hair, right? And it was obvious that it was not just marketing services that they need. I mean, they needed a whole business overhaul. And the entrepreneur in him saw an opportunity there. But this is like almost 10 years ago. I mean, this industry is evolving exponentially, you know, by the day. So, you know, 10 years ago in cannabis is like 100 years ago in other industries. So it has evolved a lot since. But, you know, Adam saw an opportunity there, how to institutionalize the space, how to bring business practices into the space. Because it's all, most of the medical marijuana dispensaries in California anyway, that evolved over the 15 or 20 years since medical marijuana was approved in 1996, these were all sort of grassroots, you know, little mom and pop shops, and God bless them, you know, that's how the pioneers started. But we're getting to this next phase, this more evolved, more, you know, formal marketplace, and that's going to need business practices. That's going to need quality assurance. That's going to need regulatory compliance, right? And so he saw an opportunity there. So I think if you're an entrepreneur, it's all about what are the needs, right? What are the problems people are trying to solve? So the problems that you're trying to solve depends on what skill sets you bring. For me, it was communication. So I found an opportunity as a communications professional to put my skill set to use.
Terrific. I think we're running out of time here. So Daniel, can you tell people how to reach you if they're interested in finding out more about MedMen and what you do?
Sure. The easiest way to reach me is via email, and it's a really easy email. It's just my first name and the company, Daniel@MedMen, that's MedMen.com. Daniel@MedMen.com.
Thank you very much.
Of course, it was my pleasure.
This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We'll be right back after these messages.